Okay, today we're talking with Adler lead guitarist Lonnie. How are you doing today, Lonnie?
I'm wonderful, thanks. Jason. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and of course, the big news surrounding your band right now, Adler, is that the band's had to cancel its summer tour so that because Steven's back in rehab. Do you want to let our listeners know anything about what's going on with him right now?
Well, first and foremost, everybody, including Steven, the most important thing in life in general is that everybody be healthy. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. So that being said, Steven is concentrating on just staying sober and being healthy for not just the band, but for the rest of his life. And we support that decision because without his sobriety, I don't know how long we'd last, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to get too much into it, but I was reading right before you called right now a little statement he put out a couple of weeks ago stating that he's back in rehab, but it's more because not so much that he went back to using drugs. It had more to do with alcohol, that he slipped and took a few drinks, and before it got out of hand, he wanted to kind of get that back under control. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes.
Okay, and now... of course, Lonnie, the debut Adler album's been out and doing really well since last November, and I know you guys, since then, you did the Kiss Cruise, and you also played some dates, I think, in Japan with Duff McKagan's band Loaded. How did those dates go?
We loved both of them. The Kiss Cruise is amazing. In fact, I'm in the car with Jacob right now, the singer, and we're just cruising around. We were just talking about the Kiss Cruise, how fun that was. In Japan, also, that was a blast. Duff couldn't have been nicer to us. His whole band, great group of guys, great band. That was my first time seeing Duff's band, and I really enjoyed them. We all did.
And so, now I want to ask you, of course, everybody's looking forward to you guys being on tour this summer, but that's been kind of pushed back. So as far as the dates that you had already had lined up, is the plan to reschedule those dates for a later time, or... are you going to wait once Steven gets back to see what's up with that?
We're going to wait. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Last thing we want to do is set up a bunch of tour dates and have to cancel again. Like I said, I can't stress it enough. First and foremost, our priority is Steven's health, and nothing's going to come before it. We don't care about, obviously there was a tour set up and a lot of money was at stake. But in spite of all that, like I said, our priority was Steven's health. And until he's better, it doesn't make any sense for anybody to go out there and be booking shows and stuff.
Yeah, and, I want to let our listeners know that, as I was saying, I interviewed you once before last November, and one thing that really impressed me, kind of a little bit what you're talking about, is how, what great friends you guys are, in the sense that when you got together, you knew a little bit about Steven's drug history, and you guys support him so much to the point that you don't even drink alcohol in front of him, just because you don't want to tempt him. And I think that's really a great thing you guys are doing there.
Well, to be honest, the singer Jacob and I don't drink, don't smoke, don't do any drugs whatsoever. So that wasn't difficult at all for us. I mean, we just simply don't do that.
Yeah.
The bass player drinks a little wine now and again. But he would go out of his way not to drink in front of Steven. In fact, I'm positive I've never seen Johnny drink anything in front of Steven, and he wouldn't. Not because we told him to or asked him to, he just said that was the right thing to do, is just not drink in front of him.
And last time you and I were talking, last November, Lonnie, one thing I was telling you really impressed me about the band, the band, of course, is named Adler after Steven, because he's the guy that everybody knows from Guns N' Roses, but I've been really impressed by the fact that he surrounded himself by so many talented players, like you and Jacob and Johnny, and he really is willing to share the spotlight with you. What's that been like? I mean, you do probably just as many interviews like this as Steven does.
Well, if I understand I'm not certain I understand the question 100%, but all of us individually have always admired the band mentality, where it's not ever about the solo artist or one guy coming before the next. And especially, and I'm not just saying this because Jacob's next to me, but especially somebody is that I admire personally, somebody like Jacob and Steven. I mean, Steven was in the biggest band in the world. But those two guys put me on the same playing field, so to speak, as the two of them. And we do the same with Johnny. It's just amazing. We all take our pants off one leg at a time, just like the next guy, and we're all treated equally, and nobody comes before the next guy.
And so, you know, like I said, you guys had a summer tour plan, and now that that's off for now, I'd like to ask, what are you guys spending your time doing right now? Are you writing more songs, or are you getting ready for the next album, or what do you guys do? Keep yourself busy right now?
Well, interesting question. Jacob and I always write songs, so that will never stop, no matter what we're doing. So there's always that on the downtime. Jacob was in a band called Lynam, Lynam, before he joined up with Adler, and he's actually continuing shows doing that, so he's keeping himself busy with that. And honestly, he's asked me to play some shows with him on guitar. Since Adler isn't out doing the tours and we're waiting for Steven, I've accepted, and I am going to be playing some shows in line. In fact, my first show with them is going to be at Rock Lama this weekend.
Oh, cool. And so that's going to be a little different. And you think that would be any different than playing in Adler? I mean, have you had to get to know their material, and how long has it taken you to, you know, learn all his songs from the Lyman band?
Not long at all. I mean, they're great songs. Great songs are easy to learn. You just pick them right up because they're catchy, you know?
Yeah, and so, when you guys get together and write, do you ever write songs that, you know, you like the song, but maybe you think, you know, this isn't the right type of song for Adler? You know, maybe we'll use this for another project or something?
All the time. All the time. And oftentimes I'll bring a song to Jacob, and I'll just think, oh man, this is great, especially the chorus. The chorus is great. What do you hear the chorus? So he hears the song, and he goes, I love it. I don't like the chorus. And he'll change the chorus into something better. So you just never know what you're going to get when you write with somebody. But you have to trust their opinion. You know, if you're working with the right people, then that's a good thing to do, is to trust their opinion, because I've never been disappointed with the changes that Jacob's made to my stuff, and I hope that he feels the same about my changes to his material.
And so, you know, you guys, of course, on a debut album, you were the two principal songwriters. Do you think now, like, the Johnny's in the band, when you guys get ready to record the next album, that he'll be part of a songwriting team as well?
I think so. Johnny and I actually wrote a song together, just the two of us, because Jacob wasn't in town. A little while ago, and I loved it. I played it for Jacob. Jacob loved it. I didn't get a chance to play it for Steven, but I'm certain that he will like it when he hears it. Johnny's a great writer.
Okay, and then, you know, I was curious, you know, talking about Johnny coming into the band, because I know on the debut album, you had your producer, Jeff Pilson, play all the bass, so I was curious, you know, once Johnny came into the band and you guys started touring, how long did it take for y'all to really click, you know, the band, and to take him long to learn those bass parts and that?
Not at all. Johnny's a great bass player. In fact, the way that Johnny was introduced to the band is he was over at my house for a party, and Steven, the three of us were in my office, where I had a bunch of guitars and basses hanging on the wall, and Johnny grabbed one of the basses off the wall and started playing, and Steven said, oh my God, this guy can play anything. He was like, play some Rush, play some this, play some of that, play some Iron Maiden, and he was playing. So Johnny's one of those kind of guys he can play anything you put before him, and he can learn a whole set of music just overnight. He's one of those talented guys.
And so, Lonnie, you, of course, as I said, you know, you're the guitar player in the band, and Jacob plays guitar as well. Is that correct?
Correct. So how does every song. And Adler, you know, he doesn't put on the guitar until about halfway through the set. It comes out blaring as a front man.
So you're most... So you play most of the lead, is that correct?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
You play most of the guitar leads, like you're mostly like kind of a lead player, right?
Yes and no. I mean, like I said, about half the set I play the lead, and then when he comes playing guitar, I'll still play a lead or two, but he's a great guitar player, and I I can't stress how great he is. And so it's a pleasure to watch him play, and I almost have to tell him, dude, you gotta leave this one because you gotta show off.
And then I was also reading on the internet that you guys recently released an acoustic version of your song, I think, Waterfalls, as a free download. You want to talk a little bit about that, like why you decided to offer that for free?
Well, we just thought that it would bring a little attention to the project. You know, we weren't really doing anything at that time. I think it was our publicist's idea. I can't remember whose idea it was, but you know, we're always about you know, if we could do all this for free and never charge a dime for any of our music, that's what we would do. But as you know, if you're trying to make a living at this, you just simply wouldn't.
Well, I mean, yeah,
that was something that was really easy and a pleasure for us. So that's why we did it.
I mean, that's the cool thing about it is, like you said, you know, you guys obviously do this because you want to make a living at what you enjoy, but that's what I think is cool about offering something like that for free, is that you're not just releasing, you know, the same standard version song that's on the album. You're giving them a little something special. So, like I said, that was an acoustic version. Was that something live you guys recorded at one of your shows, or did you just go in the studio and record like an acoustic version?
No, to be honest, we recorded that particular acoustic version right in that same office where I just described, where at my house, where Johnny came in and picked the bass off the wall, and that was actually the same room where Jacob and I wrote our first song together, the one that you hated.
And
so we just recorded it in that room. We didn't go into the big studio.
And have you guys given any thought to maybe down the line, like doing like an acoustic an acoustic set in the show, or even like a full on unplugged show?
We talked about it a little bit. Some of the songs I don't think would translate necessarily acoustically. Like Good to Be Bad, it's got so many weird sounds to it. I mean, the melodies are strong, but I'm not sure that particular song would be great acoustically. So I don't know about the whole set, but certain songs would work just fine, yeah.
And maybe when you got a couple more albums under your belt, but talking about album number two, because I know you guys are still busy promoting this one, but have you started giving any thought to when you might start actually recording that?
Coincidentally enough, I was just talking to Jeff Pilson, who produced our first record 2 days ago, and he was saying, you know, anytime you guys want to start recording again, I'm ready. So, but again, all this just, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to put too much on Steven's plate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We just really want to concentrate on him being as strong and as healthy as possible, and until we see that, hey, this, you know, he's good, he's ready to go forward, then everything's just going to be on hold, and we'll just be stacking up the songs as we write them and just waiting.
And of course, you know, Lonnie, you answered one of my other questions, which was I was going to ask you if you thought you might be working with you know, Jeff Pilson again, and so you want to talk a little bit about, obviously you guys have a great working relationship with him as a producer. What was it like working with him in the studio?
Absolute pleasure. We love Jeff like a brother. He's an incredible talent. Singer, songwriter. I mean, even just simple chord changes that I would bring or Jacob would bring, he would have a way of making them better. And just, even if he didn't change anything, just the inspiration and the attitude that he would bring to the project, just always so happy and positive and anxious to get started, and just every take that you did, even if it wasn't great, he was like, that was great, now let's just do another one, you know. He just had a way of making you feel real comfortable, and we love that about him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you know this or not, but is it true, I've heard people tell me that one thing about Jeff is that he, you know, he's not just a bass player, but he sings and he plays guitar and keyboards, I think. Did you see any of that when you guys were working with him? Like, he'd come in with maybe a keyboard or something and show you how to play a certain...
Absolutely. In fact, the very beginning keyboard of Good to Be Bad, that's Jeff on the keyboard. There's a picking guitar part in the chorus of The One That You Hated that we tracked while we were in the studio, but then Jeff called us later on that night, and he said, you know, I retracked that just because if you tune differently, it sounded better. And of course, we said, please, you know, do it. And we listened to it, and we said, you're absolutely 100% right. So, yeah, I mean, he had free reign to do whatever he wanted, and we took advantage of it. Because he sang vocals on a good number of the tunes. The very beginning harmonies of Diamonds is just Jeff and me singing, just the opening harmonies, because we decided to do that when Jacob left town after he had already tracked the song. We said, well, we need to do something at the beginning, but Jacob isn't here, so that's just me and Jeff singing.
Well, okay. Wow. And so speaking about Jeff, once again, I'd like to ask you, if you ever had a chance to hear the CD he put out with George Lynch, I think it's called TNN.
Yep, absolutely.
And the reason I asked that is, you know, I interviewed him and he was talking about that band's getting ready to go out tour. I think in the fall, and they're going to take Michael Sweet out as their lead singer, one of their lead singers, and. I was curious if there had been any talk about you guys maybe opening up for them.
There hasn't, and let me correct myself. It's Slave of the Empire. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
The Machine, it's Slave of the Empire. I hadn't heard that. In fact, I want to call Jeff right now and ask him about it, but no, we haven't talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just thought that'd be a great idea. But Lonnie, now, of course, Jacob, you're going to be going out with him and his Lyman band, but I was curious, being that you're such a great... songwriter, have you ever had any desire to put out a solo album or a solo project of your own?
Coincidentally enough, I was just asked to do that by a smaller label, and I think when the timing's right, I would love to do that because I've sang for years in bands, but. That being said, I've never done anything. You know, I always felt like I write better songs than I sing. I don't know. It's one of those situations where I know my weaknesses. I know my strengths, and my strength, in my opinion, is just to find somebody great like Jacob and have him sing the shit. It's easier to sell the song, yeah, when you have a great voice on it.
And I guess you know, it's obvious that you and Jacob got a great relationship in the sense that you guys. Work well together. You write the songs together. I was curious. You know, maybe when you're the main songwriter on a particular song, what's it like to hear somebody else's singing your words or the words you wrote?
It's a little weird, but if the right singer is doing it, then it's right. It's an honor, actually. First time I heard. Jacob sing Waterfall, I literally, a tear came out of my eye. I'm like, dude, this is so beautiful. I love this.
Yeah, you know, I got your guys' CD, and I gotta say, that's one thing I really love about the album is that you do a little bit of everything. I mean, for the most part, you know, you got hard-hitting, heavy song, hard-rocking songs, but then you got a song like, you know, Waterfalls, and it just kind of takes you to the, you know, to the next, you know, to a different level, and I kind of really dug that about the album. I was curious, is there a song on the album that you really, I know they're probably all like your little babies, but is there one that you really like the best?
Well, I can say right now at this particular moment, I can give you a song title, but then tomorrow when I listen to the record, I can give you a different one because it all depends on the day that I listen to the record and what mood I'm in. But, Almost Enemies is one of my favorites just because the groove, it's kind of slinky, and I love the way Jacob sings the verses, and it's got a great chorus. But like I said, if you ask me this question tomorrow, I might say Waterfall, I might say another version of The Truth, you know, it doesn't matter. Like you said, they're all different enough to where it's supposed to capture whatever mood you're in that particular day.
Yeah, and you know, the other great thing, I think what you guys really accomplished on the album is, you know, like some people might have thought because it's Steven's band, they might have expected it to sound, you know, like Guns N' Roses, or they might have expected it to sound like every other, you know, major hard rock band out there. But you guys really got, I think, a unique, you know, individual sound. You don't sound like everybody else. When you went in to record the album, is that something you guys kind of set out to do, or is it just kind of a wave of music came out.
It's just kind of the way the music came out. I mean, we knew, and once we all got together, that we each bring in a certain ingredient, and we just trusted that the right ingredients were there when we were writing and putting things together.
Wow.
So that it wasn't necessarily a poignant thought to make the record sound a certain way. We just started writing, and it just happened that way.
Yeah, because the other thing I'm trying to say, you know, when I listen to the album, you know, you guys got your own definite sound. And the other thing is, you know, the album came out like a year ago, but, you know, I haven't gotten tired of listening to any of the songs. It's, you know, it doesn't sound dated or anything. I think, you know, 5 years down the line, you could put this album on, and you know, people could still just get off it as much as the first time they heard it.
Oh, thank you. That's a great compliment. Thank you very much.
And you know, of course, what's it been like, you know, when you guys were out there touring around the world live? I mean, what kind of reaction do you guys get from the crowd? That must be a really great feeling, you know, be out there playing your music live.
It absolutely is, and I could never get sick of that. Even when we were in Japan, we were looking out in the audience, and I was shocked that they knew the words. They didn't know the language, but they could sing the words to our songs, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and I understand, like, Japanese audiences are, like, really, really, like you said, they don't understand a word, but somehow they're able to sing every word of the song. And I understand, you know, when you're in Japan, like, they give you, like, a certain amount of respect that you might not get from other audiences. So has that been your favorite place to play so far, like Japan?
Oh, that's a great question. We all really enjoy the Kiss Cruise. The Kiss fans are just incredible fans. But anywhere we've played, we've been real fortunate to have a good reception.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm a major Kiss fan myself, and the interesting thing is, you know, if your band or a musician that even has the slightest, you know, connection to Kiss, you know, you've got it made, because, like I said, they got just such a huge fan base. So what was that cruise like? I mean, how long were you guys actually on the cruise? Did you get to see any of the Kiss shows or hang out with them or anything?
We did get to see one of the Kiss shows. As far as hanging out with them, we got our pictures with them. I personally was fortunate enough, me and my girlfriend, we had lunch with Tommy Thayer, but that was just kind of an accident. We were eating at the same time in the little private dining area, and he just happened to be in there, so we sat with him and chatted. But no, we didn't actually get a chance to hang with each member.
Yeah.
We loved every minute of the experience.
That's great. And I was curious, do you guys, when you perform live, do you record all your shows, you know, like, you know, on video or anything for possible DVD release down the line?
Well, sometimes the road crew, they'll shoot it with their video cameras or with their cell phones, but it's not for the intention of releasing later on a DVD. That's something to think about. We've talked about it a little bit, but nothing intentionally has been put forth.
And is there, you know, you guys are pretty, for a new band, you guys are pretty popular all over the place, but I was wondering, is there one part of the world where you've been really surprised at, you know, the huge reaction you got from your fans? Like, is there one part of the world where the record's really, you know, selling huge numbers that you kind of really surprised you?
Argentina. We haven't been down there yet, but we heard that the Argentina, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. that they really seem to dig the record.
And have you guys made it over to Europe yet, or is that something that's on the you know, schedule once Steven gets well and he's back in order?
Yeah, that was unfortunately one of the tours that got canceled. But it's definitely in the future.
Okay, so right now you guys are just waiting for him to get better, and you're kind of writing songs in your spare time. And so when did you say the Lyman tour starts?
Not a tour, just a couple shows here and there.
Oh, okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to mention before I let you go? Because I know you're very busy, and once again, I'd like to thank you, Lonnie, for taking time to do this, because I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to put all this together and asking me the questions that you have. Very interesting questions. Just one thing that to leave with you, just everybody, please wish Stephen well, like we do, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to the record, please go out and check it out.
Okay, and thanks once again, Lonnie, and I'll be letting you know when the interview is ready to go up. Please take care, and if you know, when you guys have anything else to promote, you know, get in touch with me. We can do this again. It's been a really pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Take care. Bye bye.